quarter to six. It is raining. Boy, I'm just hearing the rain just pouring down here in Halley. Let's check in with our buddy Jason Cans in Eau Claire. Are you hearing the rain coming down there?
Yeah, about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
It really just started dumping buckets outside. So it's actually, I love listening to that in the morning. So it's good to watch. So
interesting. I mean, one report indicated we could get, you know, kind of an overall with this storm talking about 8 inches. I mean, that's just.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a crazy amount. But they are saying today 1 to 2 inches. And let's see. Now, the one forecast I looked at had talked about a flash flood watch, which seemed until 10 this morning. This particular one does not indicate that. But anyhow, a lot of rain, and it's definitely cascading down this morning. You know, it's interesting because on the way in, I mean, it really wasn't raining. I mean, it wasn't. So, but it is now. All right.
Well, hopefully it will let up. I've got a doctor's appointment at 7 o'clock. So.
Ah, you do. Okay. All right. Well, yeah. I was greeted by something this morning, and it's really hard not to go to it, in fact, because, and I think maybe we just should. Because you are a big Andrew Peterson fan, and he's got a brand new song. Caleb posted it as I was just scrolling a little bit through Facebook this morning. It's a song called A White Man's Lament for the Death of God's Beloved. But why don't we go back, because you are a fanboy of Andrew Peterson, and tell us why.
Yeah, he's my favorite singer, for sure. He has my favorite record. I think I like him so much because he's such an honest storyteller. You know, he is just deeply connected, it seems, with his own heart. He writes about difficult things. He writes about hard things, and I think really invites us into looking at our own heart as well. You know, and so he had a record, I think, in 2017 called The Burning Edge of Dawn, which I think is the most brilliant record ever put out. And he has his motto is tell the truth as beautifully as you can. And I've really kind of clung to that idea, too. So, yeah, I think he's important.
Yeah. Songwriter, singer, author, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
All right,
he has written, I think at this point, 5 books, four fiction books called The Wing Feather Saga, which is wonderful.
And then creating a place online that you're a part of called The Rabbit Room. Tell us about that.
Yep. Yeah, so The Rabbit Room is an online community on Facebook. So it's called The Rabbit Room Chinwag, and it's a group where Christian creatives kind of get together and talk about different aspects of art. So writing, music, film, poetry, all sorts of different things. And it's a very welcoming community. It seems like the only thing that they're not particularly tolerant of is people who come in and stir up dissent. So I think that's just a beautiful thing. I think it currently is about 5,000 members. So it's a very active community. I've made connections with some good friends there as well, Rebecca Reynolds being one of them. You know, I think I've mentioned her here before, too. So, yeah.
Well, and I think we've shared some of her stuff. Well, this is a song. I just saw it this morning, A White Man's Lament for the Death of God's Beloved. It's 7 minutes, so we can't play the whole thing. And so you're hearing this for the first time. So I want to give you just a taste and get some reaction.
Sure.
Andrew Peterson, WWIB.
I was walking down on Broadway in a multitude of marchers on parade. There was anger, there was passion, there was mercy, there was peace yet to be made. And the mask that we were wearing kept the virus in control, or so they say. And there was sickness in the air, and to be fair, it was the grief and all the grievances that plagued the many years and caused the tears on every face. Well, there are things I've done that need to be forgiven, but I'm still learning how to ask. 'Cause the virus in my veins has been contained by this inherited mask. And I'd rather be exposed to what is killing than to hide from what's to blame. let me lift my voice on Broadway. Let me lift my brother's cross. Let me mourn for what it cost and feel the magnitude of loss in every name. George, Brianna, Ahmaud. So many more, but there's just no way to say every single name. And there's anguish, so much anguish to be sure, inside the killers of the slain. Cause if you've done somebody wrong, it's like a song you can't just banish from your head. Yeah, it'll eat you when you're sleeping, like a wolf that you've been keeping by your bed. Oh, and those names are gonna haunt you till you lie down in the grave and say goodbye. Then on the resurrection morn, you'll see the form of Jesus blazing in the sky. And then you'll know how much he loved the ones who suffered, whose blood was crying from the ground. And you'll reckon with the truth that even they and even you were so much dearer than you knew. So tell me, what then will you do when the ones you never knew come back around?
Again, that is Andrew Peterson. It is a 7-minute song. It is brand new. It's a white man's lament for the death of God's beloved. I just got a call from Jenny in La Crosse, Jason, and she says she went to bed last night listening to that song repeatedly, and she says she thinks it's the first thing she's heard since the death of George Floyd that really completely captures how she feels about all this. How about that?
I'm eager to listen to the rest of the song. There was a line in there about the virus running through our veins.
Right, because the virus in my vein, yeah. There are things that need to be forgiven, but I'm still learning how to ask because the virus in my veins has been contained by this inherited mask. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You know, and when I'm teaching on Sunday, I'm actually talking about masks. So man, I'm wordless. It just stirs me.
I think it seems to be, as I'm listening to it again there, it seems like, I'm like, wow, this is... We've kind of wrestled and maybe discussed, like, what's the Christian, like, this is it. This is the reaction. This is the example.
Yeah.
And this poet set this to music and shared it, you know, courageously and creatively, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah. I think music touches us often in ways that mere words do not.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank you for sharing that with us this morning.
All right. Excellent. All right. Glad to do it. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hillary Roth.
Indeed. I'm
graduation
here.
Party's part of your weekend.
It was a graduation party kind of weekend. I haven't had to cook in days, so that's kind of nice. Well, it's always fun to go and, you know.
Double carryouts.
We did. So it was carryout takeout Friday, and that was good time. And then graduation party Saturday, graduation party Sunday afternoon. And then my dad, like Sunday evening, is like, you know what? I'll treat. I'm hungry for Chinese. If you guys want to run and pick it up, I'll pay for it. So you don't have to tell us twice. That's happening. Yeah. So Chinese food last night for Dins. It was great.
You offer us pictures. If we're your Facebook friends, we get to see the food that you're... And hopefully when you see those pictures, you've already eaten. Otherwise, you end
you're
up
like,
envious. You're like, man, I wish the Roths invite me over for dinner.
The nice thing with the Chinese food is because we just get a bunch of different dishes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we all just share. It's, you know...
Oh, yeah.
It's you pass it around family
sure.
style. So it's
absolutely
delicious. So
special events. I see four of them today. It's interesting because my daughter Evelyn made omelets and waffles for dinner last night. It is Waffle Iron Day.
Nice. It's Almond Butter Crunch Day. Who knew that Almond Butter Crunch even needed a day? Like,
I didn't even know it existed, but apparently it did to kind of
get
being
a day. Yeah.
It's International Day of the Tropics.
All right. And it's Please Take My Children to Work Day. Yeah, I don't want to take my kids to work today.
But if Dean did, then you'd have a quiet house.
I mean, that would be nice. Dean, you know, Dean's been working in the field a lot more recently due to some layoffs and things like that. So he has to, he's back to working outside, which, I mean, it's pretty manual labor kind of stuff, you know. And he's offered to take our eldest child out in the field with him to see what it's all about. I'm like, yeah, you want a pack mule for the day. So, yes, all right. We'll see if that comes to fruition.
Very good. We'll talk to you after 7.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of winners on the line with us this morning, Drew and Josiah from the Detroit area in Michigan. We go across the big drink of water and say hi to them at 12 and a half before 7. Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning to both of you. So Drew has been with us a number of Mondays in the last year or so. I don't know. We've kind of wrestled with what to call this, and we'll probably continue to if Josiah is a regular with us. And Josiah, we understand that as Drew is a counselor comedian in that order, you are a pastor stand-up comic. Is that right?
Yes, I am a evangelist ordained elder. I'm not quite the pastor yet. I'm like the step above, I mean, beneath the pastor.
Okay.
I'm like the assistant principal of a high school.
Gotcha.
So you get all the grunt work and angry people without all of the accolades.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
That's perfect.
My reward in heaven.
So just like, I don't know, counselor and comedian, we've probably talked with Drew about that some, but I mean, how does that work in terms of kind of the spiritual leader? And then is the stand-up comedy kind of you get to let your hair down or what?
I use it as a ploy to share my faith through the back door of nightclubs.
Mm. Really?
So it's like, I sneak attack. I'm like, they're like, oh my God, you're so hilarious. I'm like, thank you. Jesus loves you. Do you want him?
Huh. Interesting. So how did you guys meet?
How did I meet Drew?
Josiah, do you want to tell the story or you want me to tell it?
Okay. I met him in his basement at a show that was absolutely too short for my height. I am 6'3" and his basement was 5'7".
Nice.
I did an entire comedy show in front of him and his beautiful guests on sitting on the stage, laying down. So I did an entire comedy show laying on his stage.
Wow.
Stand up.
So now,
and from that point on, he fell in love with me. He said, man, you're my brother. And I'm like, okay, great. Never had a white brother, but we're going to rock that out.
So
and it worked out.
So, Drew, that's where, I mean, comedy in your basement, we probably mentioned that in the early days last year, but bring people up to speed.
What we were doing is we were running bootleg comedy shows in my basement. When we moved back from China, we were renting a house down the street from my work, and we're looking at these houses, you know, and most people, they look at houses, and they're like, oh, this looks great. Oh, this has a nice yard. And we looked at the basement, and we're like, oh, we could turn this into a comedy club. So
because, again, you'd been doing, you'd done comedy in China.
What's that?
You had done a stand-up comedy when you were in China for like 11 years. Yeah.
Yeah. So then it was a Michigan basement, you know. So as Josiah said, it was 5'8" or whatever. And he's, I don't know, 6'3". And it was kind of funny.
Hillary, I don't know anybody who does like has a stand-up comedy shows in their basement in Wisconsin. Do you?
I mean, you know, there's an underground. Yeah. No, I have no idea.
Huh. So how long ago was that you guys kind of met with Josiah laying on the stage and doing his comedy?
Josiah, last July or something?
Okay.
Yeah. We're approaching our one-year friendship anniversary.
All right. Well, that's about as long as I've known Drew. I've known him since last June.
So. I just have to say I'm impressed because this is kind of like the old married couple who you ask him how they met and you ask her how they met and you just see if the stories jive. And the stories kind of seem to match up.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm impressed. You are actually friends. You passed the test.
Yeah.
Cool.
So just on a final note here, and maybe we can look forward to some other visits and figure out how to do this. But, I mean, certainly you guys met last July. You've done some comedy together, done some shows. It's both, it sounds like, in person and virtual. And then, particularly in the last 5 weeks on the racial scene, I mean, you had the pandemic together, and Michigan got a lot of attention. And then what's gone on with everything in the last 5 weeks racially. So how has that affected things in terms of, you know, a black brother, white brother teaming up in comedy? I think that's a beautiful, you know, friendship working together message, right?
Absolutely. It's something amazing because I haven't seen no one do it. And it's amazing because my mom is actually white, and my dad, from what I've heard, he's black. So it's like a blend. You see a biracial black man to wherever you go. You see Drew. Drew is like literally like really white, and so you put us both together. He's not like half nothing else. He's like all white. It's like his ancestry.com would come back 99.9% exclusive.
Yeah.
But it's like, and we came together, and so we were able to basically, because most of the times when you get a black man and a white man together, we're trying to basically joust and to a lot have the other one hear our viewpoint, whether we have to twist their arms or just listen to this point. We're trying to convince that person that our perspective is right. But with me and Drew, it's not. It's more so us getting an understanding on how do we address it on a broader level and how do we bring it to another demographic to say, hey, there's a black man and a white man coming together and speaking about real hard issues, but yet we're injecting Christ as well as comedy.
Yeah.
Because we're making something so people can digest it properly, because if we just hit them with the Black Lives Matter movement or we just hit them with Jesus, they're going to tense up. But we come in at them with a comical edge to it, they're able to receive it much better than they would if we were come real militant.
Totally. Absolutely. Hey, Drew, that's great. I mean, I think that it's one of those things where people, it's so serious and there's so much tension and differences of opinion, even within the body of Christ. And then, you know, comedy is a stress. It's a reliever, right? And it lets off the pressure.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's it's kind of our, supposed I to think be. Comedy's kind of our Trojan horse into people's hearts.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
All right, so it's a Monday. Couple things happened in my weekend.
No, maybe we should get our shorties out of the way.
You go.
Graduation party Saturday saw you.
Saw you.
Michelle Johnson with her two sons, and
indeed.
Caleb was there later.
I was there later, yep.
Saw
eventually,
you.
Eventually
I saw
found
everybody.
It. Yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I did, yeah.
Chocolate chip cookie bars. Did anybody get one of those from Cindy Green?
Yes, I did, with that fudgy layer in there.
Oh, that was good.
So good. Did you get one of the cupcakes with the peanut butter filling?
I did not get one of those.
Oh, yeah. Peanut butter filling in those
cupcakes. Wow, I missed those, but the cheesecake bites were delicious.
Oh, okay. Those are good, too.
So,
I had those, too.
Preached a message in church on Acts 4 yesterday on Holy Boldness Batman, so that was kind of fun.
That's
nice.
Fun.
Anyway, that's it for me.
Yeah, so again, I was at the graduation party for a bit on Saturday evening, and then Sunday was my sister Lydia's 18th birthday.
Oh,
and so, birthday, Lydia.
And it was really, really fun because, again, my mom is great at planning things out, and she'd let us know, hey, Lydia would like to go swimming. So after church on Sunday was our first lake day of the summer,
nice.
And we went out to Silver Lake in Cumberland, and just there's something about, like, in the early morning, packing up all the, you know, the swim toys and sand toys and things like that for the day. And then, you know, having a picnic and just being out in the lake. It was just precisely what I needed. My kids loved it. Great, great day at Silver Lake in Cumberland yesterday.
Super fun.
You seem re-energized.
I am.
Yay.
Yeah. Now today's Monday, so we'll see if Monday sucks that away. But.
All right.
So my weekend was a good weekend, a couple of graduation parties, but two things happened. First one, my dad's there. He takes a picture of Becca. He posted on Facebook. Like 5 minutes later, boomer, he's like, did you see my picture on Facebook? No, Dad, I didn't. You should see my picture on Facebook. Okay, Dad. So I go to my dad's Facebook page. It's not there, Dad. Well, but I posted it, but it's not there. Dean goes to the Facebook. It's not there, Wayne. Okay, but I posted it, but it's not. So my dad hands me his phone. All right, so I'm there, and I scroll, and I go to his Facebook page. Yeah, he has all these posts that the security setting was set to only me.
Oh.
Only himself. He could only see it.
And he was like, I was wondering why people weren't commenting on my posts anymore.
Oh.
So I had to change his settings. And then one of his friends was like, I have that problem too, but I don't know how to change it. So I did a whole Facebook tutorial for my dad's friend. It was awesome. So, and then I had a little bit of a fly apart because, you know, we got a lot going on at our house and kind of the brunt of things falls on the mama sometimes. And so I had this whole like fly apart about how if you see a basket of towels that are folded, anyone can put them away. Not just mom. Anyone in this household can put away folded
towels. You have that liberty.
Yes. Clean dishes. And so I had this whole like, blah, you know. Well, then I went and I took a shower. And as I'm in the shower, my husband like puts all these things away that were folded from the laundry. And that was lovely. And I got out and he was very like, and I was like, wow, thank you. Like you listened, you did, this is great. And he's very like, I appreciate you. But if you could just show me where the sheets go, I would really appreciate that. And I was like, I took a deep breath and I said, I would love to show you where the sheets go. And it occurred to me that in my 18 years of marriage, he's never changed the sheets on a single bed. He had no idea where we keep our sheets. Love him. Love him.
It's sometimes a joint project in our home, but yeah, yeah, for sure. No, I appreciate.
Well, and he's helped, but he's never actually gone to that
closet. He's
been
the one to retrieve them.
Got that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, we moved a year ago, so I can still use that as an excuse for not knowing where quite everything is.
Sheets have been in the same place for 18 and a half years. And that's okay. Now he knows where that place is.
Knowledge.
It's a good thing.
It's power.
And love.
So driving with your spouse is kind of interesting. Yeah, a lot of times, at least as I've grown up over the years, it seemed like in my house growing up, my dad was the driver. My mom, you know, it seemed...
Passenger.
You know, my dad would... I mean, when we went like on 22-hour drives to a coast, Dad did that whole thing.
Oh, really? Wow, see?
Yeah. Crazy. Huh.
I mean, I think, as times have moved along, I mean, certainly when our family drove to Florida, my wife and I drove, and now we've got, you know, four drivers in the family, soon to be five. But here was the deal. On Saturday, heading to Michelle's and the graduation party in the New Auburn area, it's a pretty good drive.
It is.
She has a long commute every day. And so, anyhow... my wife and I love to, I read aloud, she listens, and so she gets sick if she reads in the car. But a couple of things happened when she was driving. I found myself, like, checking the passenger side mirror, and she's like, checking my driving? And I was like, yeah, I guess. And and then we came up to a turn at one point, and I just kind of wanted to let her know, look out for that car. And so I thought this is going to be a radio story. So I don't know, it is something about... if you're used to driving,
right,
then when you're in that front passenger seat, it
you
could be
feel
your...
things a lot more.
Well, and there's something with the trust and relinquishing of control. Mm-hmm. That
there sure is.
You know, when we were first married, Dean and I, like, we fell into that more traditional role where he would drive and I would like navigate. Uh-huh. But here's the thing. Like, he was born and raised in Chippewa Falls. Like, my dad, I was raised in Rhinelander, but my dad was from Chicago. So we were in Chicago all the time. I mean, many times here. I've been driving in Chicago since I've been driving, you know? And, like, city driving does not faze me. It does not even faze me. And so we'd be driving through these cities, and I'd be like, I don't know where in the heck we are on this map. Like, I don't know. And he'd be, like, freaking out because of the traffic. Okay, the man makes maps for a living. He navigates for a living.
So his strength is the maps.
Yeah, so we were like, okay, wait, we got to revamp this and play to our strength.
Sure.
So now city driving, I do all the driving. He does all the navigating. Yeah. We are much happier
people. There you go.
There you go. Yeah, and I have learned, just anecdotally, my wife has a lot of commentary sometimes on driving in an effort to keep us safe, to keep me more calm when I'm driving, when other people do things that I don't necessarily love. I do tend to maybe be a little bit more of an aggressive driver. Now, I think that sometimes you have to be a little more aggressive to be safe, especially in city driving. But I have learned, having various WIB staff members with me on these birthday deliveries, that perhaps my wife might not be the only one who thinks that, for instance, when you're taking the ramp onto 53.
Oh, yeah.
I accelerate to speed, so it'll kind of like slingshot you at full speed onto 53. But then when I had Betsy and Caroline in the back, and they're both kind of leaning against the window, and they kind of reiterated what my wife had said, that perhaps I do add a lot of extra G-force.
I think you and I would do well together, because I'm like, get up to speed on the ramp.
Yeah, you don't want to slow anyone down behind you.
Years ago, one of my cousins was like learning to drive and showed up at a family event. And my dad said, so you drove here today? And he said, well,
I sat behind the wheel. My mom drove.
God, love the good old sometimes mama knows drivers. Best.
Jay Anderson on the line with us here, WWIB, the WIB Wake Up Show. And Jay is just finished his 32nd year as the director of InterVarsity Ministry at the UW-Eau Claire campus. Jay, good morning.
Good day.
Good day to you. Hey, it was back in March, and people didn't know exactly what to expect with COVID. And you came riding to the rescue on Facebook. What was it that came upon you to do?
Well, I noticed that so much of what was appearing on my Facebook feed, at least, was really nasty comments back and forth between people that had different viewpoints on different current events, and it just was nasty, nasty, nasty all the time. And so I decided to try to go a different direction and try to bring a little joy and happiness and tell some jokes, make some people smile.
Mm-hmm. And so what jokes did you call upon?
Well, you know, I'm Norwegian American, and so I have a vast repertoire of Sven and Ole jokes that I have kind of curated over the years and collected, and been telling them in different settings for a while, in varsity settings and at my church and such. And so that was my only contribution I could make. I mean, other people were posting pictures of cute puppies or babies.
Go with what you know.
All I had was Sven and Ole jokes.
Hmm. And how was that received during the 100 days you did this?
Well, you know, as you may know about the genre of Sven and Ole jokes, most of them are not actually funny. They're just kind of groaners. They just make you go, oh.
Nice.
And so,
and Facebook added a care reaction, but not a groan reaction.
So once people kind of understood the genre, then I think they're very well received.
Yeah, Caleb said Facebook added a care reaction, not a groan reaction during this whole thing.
Right.
Well, do you got one for us here?
Well, I have 100, actually.
We don't need all 100.
Yeah, right.
One of my favorites is, and I make believe when I tell them that Sven and Ole actually grew up in the small town that my parents grew up in. So the joke goes like this, that I was sitting in my aunt and uncle's living room and looking out their picture window, and I saw Sven and Ole out in the street, jumping up and down, giving each other high fives and chest bumps, and they're yelling. I couldn't make it out at first, but they're yelling, 52 days, 52 days, 52 days. And so finally I excuse myself, and I tell my aunt and uncle, you know, I got to go find out what this is all about. So I go out in the street, and they're still yelling, chest bumps and high fives, 52 days, 52 days. So I finally get them calmed down and say, Sven, Ole, what is going on? What is all the racket? Well, we just set a new record, 52 days, 52 days. And they're still excited, and I calm down again, like, okay, so what was the record? Well, you know that puzzle we were working on? No, I had no idea about any puzzle. Well, it is a puzzle we have done many times before, but this time we have done it in a new record, 52 days, 52 days, 52 days, woo-hoo. And so I go, finally get them calmed down again. I said, so what is the big deal with 52 days? They said, well, on the box there, it says 3 to 5 years.
Nice. That's a great one. That's a great one. That's way better than a groaner.
Oh,
I like it.
That's great.
All right, more with Jay Anderson of InterVarsity, his 100 days of Sven and Ole jokes coming up here on the WIB Wake Up Show. Jay Anderson heads up InterVarsity Campus Ministry at UW-Eau Claire. Just finished his 32nd year with us on the line here on the WIB Wake Up Show.
Jay, over 3 decades then of ministry locally here, what are some of the changes that you've seen? Again, even the student population, we talk about those incoming freshman surveys and stuff. The landscape has certainly changed a lot, and yet the truth of the gospel as the bedrock of your ministry certainly hasn't.
Yeah. I mean, like you say, some things don't change. People still need Jesus, and people still crave community and want to be a part of a good Christian community. But yeah, I mean, obviously technology has changed. You know, when I started, there's no such thing as email. There's no such thing as cell phones. And that, you know, especially this spring, did a lot of my ministry over Zoom calls and that sort of thing, which I would not have imagined when I first came on staff.
I think our own Elijah Freeman is somebody you've come to know quite well in his days at UW-Eau Claire, right?
Yeah. Elijah was part of the ministry here and was one of our small group leaders, and he and I become good friends, and we share terrible puns with each other and that sort of thing. So, yeah.
I got a question for you real quick before we get one more Sven and Ole joke on the way out here. A couple of things. One is, you had a great idea. You've shared it sometime back in terms of politics. One thing you'd like to see. What's your political idea for a future party someday?
Well, yeah, all I need to start it is $1 billion, and then I can run for king, and my party is called the Reasonable Party. And the idea is that if we get people, smart people from both sides of any issue you pick, and lock them in the room for long enough and tell them they can't come out until they come up with a reasonable solution that both sides to agree to, then, you know, we could solve some of our problems. But it seems to me that both sides are so deeply entrenched now in their positions that nobody's willing to budge. Nobody's willing to make a compromise. And I think there are, maybe are some reasonable solutions out there if people are willing to compromise a little
bit. There you go.
And come up with something reasonable.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, before we get to one more joke out the door here, I was sharing with Caleb and Hillary off air, and just get you to comment. June 23rd, you posted this on Facebook, Jay Anderson. You said over 3 months ago, it said joke number 100, the end. Over 3 months ago, I started posting Sven and Oli jokes as an attempt to bring some joy, et cetera. You explained that. And you said, well, 100 days in, not much has changed. No end to the COVID crisis, and Facebook has gotten, you thought, even nastier. So do you feel discouraged or... what? How do you feel?
Maybe I was naive thinking that, people would jump on board here and, you know, start posting jokes or pictures of cute babies. And I actually have seen a few more of those. I've got a friend, she posts toddler giggles from her little 1.5-year-old. And I've got another friend who posts pictures of birds that he sees when he's doing his missions work in Africa. So there has been some, glimmers of hope, but yeah, by and large, still 80-90% of the content that comes across my Facebook feed is people trying to convince other people of positions that they will never be persuaded of, because, as I was saying, people are so firmly and deeply entrenched that they're not even willing to listen. So,
well, we want you to leave us.
We
want you to leave us laughing here this morning. So you got one more for us? One of your better received jokes?
Well, it's always a question whether it's, you know, going to be well received or not. But one of my favorites involves a snowstorm. Sven and Oli and Oli's wife Lena are driving through this snowstorm in the middle of the country in the middle of the night. And if you've ever been out in a dark road on the country in the middle of the night, you know, in a snowstorm, you know that it's tough to find, you know, where the road is and where the ditches are. And sure enough, they end up in the ditch. They're in a ditch, and it's out in the middle of nowhere. There's no cars on the road. They're too far away from town to, you know, call for help. There's no cell phone service out there. So they decide that they have no option except to set out on foot. But the snow keeps getting deeper and deeper. It's getting darker and darker, and they're getting colder and colder the longer they walk. And they're just about to give up all hope when suddenly Lena stumbles, and she trips on something that's in the snow. And she picks it up, and Sven says, "Lena, that is a magic lamp. If you rub it, a genie will come out of the lamp and grant us 3 wishes. And sure enough, after she rubs it 3 times, out comes the genie. And in a deep, resonant voice, the genie says, "I am the genie of the lamp. Ordinarily, I grant you 3 wishes, but since there's 3 of you, I'll give you 1 wish each and no fair wishing for more wishes." And Lena, you know, the swiftest-witted of the bunch, says, "Oh, I wish I was sitting back at the cabin by the fire, nice and warm with a big cup of hot cocoa." The genie says, "Your wish is my command." He folds his arms, closes his eyes, blinks, and with a poof, Lena is gone. And, you know, presumably she's now sitting by the fire, enjoying her hot cocoa. And the genie, he's not dressed for the weather, and he's getting a little cold, and he's getting impatient, so he turns to Oli. "Well, buddy, what's it going to be? What is your wish?" And Oli, not nearly as smart as Lena, says, "Oh, I don't know, I don't know." And the genie's now getting very impatient. Come on, I haven't got all night. It's freezing out here. Just make a wish so I can get back to my nice, cozy, warm lamp." And that triggers an idea for Oli. He says, Oh, I know. I wish I was back at the cabin, too, sitting by the fire there with Lena with a nice cup of coffee." Genie says, "Your wish is my command." He folds his arms, closes his eyes, bobs his head, and with another poof, Oli, too, is gone. And now Sven is all by himself out there in the cold and the dark and the snow with a very cranky and impatient genie. He's shivering, his teeth are chattering, hypothermia is starting to set in, and, you know, his brain is already not moving so fast, but it's further dulled by, you know, the cold and the hypothermia, and so he starts to cry, and he's sobbing there, and finally the genie says, "Well, what is your wish? I haven't gone all day." And Sven says,
Oh, I don't know what to do. I'm so cold, and I miss Lena and Oli so much, and I'm so confused.
Some of you see where this is going.
I don't know what to do. I wish that Oli and Lena were here.
Your wish is my command.
Oh, goodness.
That is a good one. Thank you, Jay, so much, and thank you for your efforts there, and you gave us two great ones here this morning. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
We've already talked about how this Monday morning was kind of a sleepy Monday, rainy, gloomy, and so you wake up maybe a little bit more tired after recreating over the weekend and such. Well, a website, Your Tango, never heard of it, says if you place this under your tongue before bed, you will not wake up tired. Is it a lemon wedge, a raw almond, Himalayan sea salt, or peanut butter? Now, we've already talked about
this. I'm sure that I would not have guessed.
Your Tango claims it is, in fact, Himalayan sea salt. Now, I enjoy sea salt a lot.
Yes.
And I like Himalayan sea salt. Apparently, this stuff is one of those, quote-unquote, miracle foods, as this site, which I have never heard of, has shared a video that claims Himalayan sea salt, quote, can help with everything from aiding our adrenal glands, to fighting off disease and can even assist with weight loss.
Okay.
And they say, surprisingly enough, it can even help with depression by regulating serotonin levels in the brain. Sea salt can do all that?
Seems like some pretty bold claims to me.
And again, from a website I have never heard of. The website Your Tango says, quote, all you have to do, because of course it's not just as simple as just the sea salt. They say all you have to do is combine 5 teaspoons of raw organic honey with 1 teaspoon of pink Himalayan sea salt in a jar, then place a small amount of this mixture under your tongue right before you head off to bed, and you will wake up energized.
And with
raging thirst.
With and cavities from the sugar of the honey.
Yeah.
I like honey. Raw organic honey sounds delicious. Yeah.
Himalayan sea salt is
excellent. More honey than salt, though, that you're putting there. That's a lot of honey. I'd sleep with honey under my tongue.
Maybe
not for my teeth.
I don't know. I mean, I don't wake up super, super tired a lot of mornings. Maybe this morning in particular, but I'm not sure if I would give this a shot. However, this random website I've never heard of says I should. So
why not?
I mean, if the internet says it, it must be true.
Give it a try. Let us know how it goes. I don't know. Seems a little sketch to me.
I mean, if they said put a little cookie dough ice cream under my tongue,
I'd be all over that.
Yeah. I'm going to find a website that proves my claim.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.